Ways and Means to order. And
don't we want to do public hearing on this?
I think you can open both if you like.
Just
work session.
I'm going to open a public hearing on the Department of Agriculture federal grant application. Chuck, would you like to present your request?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Chuck Craig, Deputy Director for the Department of Agriculture. And, Mr. Chair, we have the state veterinarian here, too, if we get into any technical questions on this. Right off the bat, I'd like to kind of apologize for the confusion over the scheduling on this. We had thought until a few hours ago that April 30th was a deadline for application on this particular grant, and we found out that that was applies to states who do not have an already approved YONES program, and that there isn't a set deadline for us. So it's our fault we screwed up. But just to give you the sketch of how this unfolded so fast, on April 1st in the state federal conference call with the federal veterinarians, we learned that there was going to be $10 million nationally earmarked for control of YONES disease. On the 16th, we received information in the form of a spreadsheet and formulas that told us specifically how much Oregon would be eligible for and what it could be used for. On the 24th, we submitted our letter to the co-chairs after talking to LFO and DASPAM. And then we thought that April 30th was the date that we had to have our proposal in. So we have put in kind of a prospective proposal, but the deadline hasn't actually passed. And perhaps if I just sketch what this is about, you know, it'll give you an appreciation for why we're asking for these funds. YONES disease is a bacterial infection. It's a chronic production sort of disease that affects primarily the small intestine of ruminants, and it's most significant right now in dairy herds. Family of diseases that causes, it's the same family that causes tuberculosis and leprosy. Causes significant losses in the dairy industry. There's no cure. The method of control is to develop farm-specific plans that avoid oral-fecal contact between the older animals and the calves. It also is a strategy to test for positive animals and cull them from the herd to avoid spreading it. About 3 years ago, Oregon started a cooperative program between the OSU Extension Veterinarian, the department, and the Oregon Dairy Farmers Association to try to enroll as many Oregon dairy producers in this program as we could to minimize the losses from YONES. The response has been pretty positive, but, you know, we did this on very meager resources and can't really carry the program on at the testing and herd management plan level that we should without the federal funds. And so they would be in jeopardy if we didn't get this. What we plan to do with the money, and the extension veterinarian actually is the one that's coordinating this process. 60% of his time is actually budgeted by OSU, not through this grant, to coordinate the YONES program. We'll produce and disseminate more educational information. We've pretty well run out of brochures and materials of that nature to send both the producers and the professional veterinarians around the state. We would purchase a small amount of lab equipment that would enable us to scale up and do the testing that is actually necessary for this in our lab. purchase test kits and supplies to offset the cost of doing the testing to the producer. In other words, to provide an incentive and also provide for financial assistance in the form of payments to veterinary professionals and veterinary assistants, again, to offset the cost of developing a risk assessment for each herd and a management plan for each herd. And our goal is to enroll, if we can, or provide that all of Oregon's 380 dairies have formal risk assessments and formal herd management programs for this disease. I'd like to point out that very little of this money actually goes to the department. The lab equipment and the negotiated federal indirect costs are all that we actually get out of this, which is about $40,000. The rest of it goes directly for support of Oregon dairy producers to offset their costs for testing and the development of these plans and risk assessments.
Maybe could the veterinarian pull a chair up and take us a little time here? First question I have, are we seeing this in feedlots at all or just in dairies?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Brad Leemaster, state veterinarian. Not so much in feedlots. The disease is primarily seen in dairies, and it's because of the management practices, concentrated animals closer together. For the feedlots, they're not there very long, and they move through at a faster rate. So the disease not seen at a high amount in beef cattle, just different management practices.
Chuck, have you already applied for the grant, though?
Mr. Chair, we've sent in kind of a prospective or preliminary application. But as I said, there is no deadline now, and we apologize for creating the confusion. We thought we had to do something in order to secure the funding in the event that we chose to go ahead with the program. So we did submit the work plan.
And is this basically an extension of a grant you've already received, right?
In a way, it is. We got a grant back in 2000, I think it was. We got a small grant for this. Then, actually, last legislative session, I think we made Ways and Means aware of the need for this with one of our program option packages actually mentioned the need for further expenditure limitation in our lab to support things, and Yoni's testing was one of the things that we talked about at that time. So it is an extension of something that started on a shoestring, and it does bring us to the point where we actually could put a solid program in place that would do, you know, the latest, most up-to-date, state-of-the-art sort of thing for all dairy producers.
Maybe this for the veterinarian. Are you seeing more of this disease now, or is it the incidence increasing?
No, Mr. Chair. The incidence in Oregon is pretty much reflects the national level, but because of the success the last couple 3 years, it's actually gone down a bit.
Could you talk to us about the potential contributor to Crohn's disease? Have they proven that, or is that just a theory?
Good question, Mr. Chair. Crohn's disease, of course, is a human disease of the gut. It's okay. Yoni's disease has been mentioned in that. There's been no direct link to that. Different studies, different researchers have shown several. The list is quite long, actually, of the causative agent for Crohn's. Yoni's disease comes up from time to time. but no one has made that positive link.
And if that link was made, what would that do to the industry?
Well, I think if the link was eventually made that Yoni's was a possible contributor to that, I think Oregon Dairy is in good shape. They've been very proactive. They have these management plans in place. They're trying to get more testing. So I think the industry would be in a very good shape to answer consumers' concerns over that.
Okay. But it would, how do I want to phrase this? It would be important to have an active program in place because I would think it would impact the market anyway. And then if you didn't have a strong program in place, you'd have a tough time
sure,
making your case.
Yeah, consumer confidence, you bet. But I can tell you that dairy farmers have been very aware of this and very proactive, and they're in good shape. They're way ahead of the curve on this.
For, just for the committee members and staff here, if you've never seen this disease, it is absolutely devastating. Animals just waste away to nothing but a bone. It used to be the dairy business, but prior to coming here, I transported a lot of cattle, and I saw it quite often. Because the only thing the dairymen can do is salvage what they can as soon as possible. Sometimes they can't even do that. So
there's no cure?
Any questions from the committee? What trying to put on the record what I know Senator Dukes is thinking here. So let me take it. You have funding in place now to carry on the program, or when will your funding run out?
Mr. Chair, we have funded this with very meager resources. We've depleted our supply of educational materials and things like that. I think you're aware of the pending problem for the extension budget. I think that if we don't get this funding in the future, it really jeopardizes our testing program. We've been cut back in so many ways that I doubt that we can contribute much to this to keep it going at the level it needs to be, because this is a long-term chronic production disease that depends on the application of this discipline to management over a long period of time. It's not something that you get a quick fix on and then you don't see it for a long time. So I think the program would be in jeopardy, because we're just running out of ability to do these things.
Do you have any funding beyond July 1?
Not that I'm aware of. Other than, this is a reportable disease, and so to the extent that we survey for it or alert to it, diagnose it, and keep track of it, we would continue doing that. But this kind of proactive effort to prevent it on a large scale, we wouldn't be able to continue at this level. So.
How prevalent is it in our herds today? And I assume it depends on the herd size and those kind of things.
Exactly right, Mr. Chair. It reflects the national level. About 22% or so, 20% of the dairy farms seem to have, some activity against the disease. How much of it is there? It's hard to say, but about 20%, roughly.
Are there any patterns in feeding or care of the animals that seems to influence prevalence?
Oh, yes, sir. You can manage against this and have a positive impact. It's mainly separating the barrier of contamination or contact from the older infected animals to the younger newborn calves, and you can do that by removing the calves early on. Manure management is very important, keeping that manure of the older animals away from the young. So there are some very basic fundamental management things a dairy farmer can do to lower his risk.
Are these management techniques widespread, or is there a need?
It's growing. It's part of the our extension veterinarian at Oregon State has been very active in this, trying to get the word out. He's been doing a great job.
Any other questions? Senator, do you have any other queries?
Well, I was curious as to what your deadline that is now.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, we're not exactly sure what it is. I think it's, you know, within the next 2 months probably, but that's about all we know as far as, and, you know, I wouldn't have picked up, I'm not familiar with the jargon between Category 1 and Category 3 programs and so on, but we just didn't pick up the distinction, so.
Mr. Chair, this is a tough one for me to vote no on, but if it goes to a vote today, that's what I'm going to do. There, we just had an agency the other day where it had a lot of internal fiscal problems, and lo and behold, it was federal money is where most of it comes down. If we can't stay on top of the money that's coming into agencies and get it into line items and get it budgeted and make the decisions as to whether we think that's an appropriate use for our state agency, then we might as well give it up and tell them to do the best they can, and we could shorten up our sessions. We lecture and we lecture. We've been doing this as long as I've been on Ways and Means. And after we had the EQ that was our problem the other day, and you may remember that I made a big issue getting it on the record that they had authority from us, for what authority a subcommittee has, to apply for a grant even though they hadn't been through full Ways and Means yet because we screwed up. Well, then to turn around today and say, oh, it's okay. I mean, if you're telling me the truth, somewhere in that agency there must be somebody who knows one category from another or can figure out with a month's lead time that they can, that one of the things they need is to let the legislature know. I just think that these are not frivolous issues, and maybe we can talk about it for a future, but today I'm a no. And I hope that somebody goes back and has a conversation with the folks in the agency who are supposed to be doing those jobs, that they best do them.
Any other comments, questions?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm a little fuzzy, so if I might try to clarify the timeline a little bit more, would you permit that?
Sure.
Chuck, I'm not clear on why this kind of wallowed around inside the agency for the amount of time that it did. Can you kind of take us through this whole thing again?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I'd be glad to. We found out that there was a national initiative that was going to provide significant funding nationwide on the 1st of April.
When did you find that out?
We found that out in a conference call that takes place on a regular basis between the state veterinarians and their federal counterparts in each state. So April 1st, we knew there was going to be money. We didn't know how much. We didn't know what you would be able to use it for specifically or how much each state was going to get.
Okay.
Then on the 16th, via email, we got the distribution, actually, for the states and the distinctions in amounts between whether you had an approved program or you did not have an approved program, and there were formulas in there that were used to calculate the amounts and how many, you know, how much each test would cost and so on like that. So the 16th, we knew that Oregon could get $233,000. So between the 16th and the 24th, our folks and our federal veterinarians worked and OSU Extension Veterinarian developed the work plan that quantified what we were going to do and how much it would cost so that we could actually say that we could spend that $233,000 legitimately according to the rules. And immediately thereafter, we sent a letter to the co-chairs and had consulted with LFO and BAM.
So on the 16th, you actually found out that Oregon would be eligible for $233,000 and the criteria for spending the money.
Right.
And so then you work from there until the 24th with OSU to define
the program
request.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And talk to me about this moving deadline. How did that...
Well, in the email that came out, there was a statement that states that Category 1 applications were due April 30th. And Category 1, as it turns out, is for states without an approved program. And none of us picked that up because I don't know why, but we didn't. And we actually started questioning it today because the so-called AVIC, the Area Veterinarian in Charge for USDA, was in our office for a conference call, and I stopped him and said, hey, is the deadline really April 30th for sure? And he looked at me with this blank look like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, we've got this confusion that exists and a lot of consternation by some folks in the legislature about us asking for retroactive approval for something. And I really want to know before I go over there today what has happened. And he looked at the material and he said, well, that's for Category 1. There isn't any deadline actually specified in here for your kind of program, which is a federally approved program. So,
I can break in. What was the date you notified the legislative co-chairs?
April 24th.
And, Mr. Siebert, why didn't we get it to our committees before April 30th then?
I believe, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the 24th was Thursday, I believe, is when you called. That's when they submitted the letter to BAM. BAM has to go through the process of deciding if the governor's office wants to forward the request onto the legislature. It's the governor's prerogative not to forward that grant request onto the legislature. The governor's office decided they did. They got it over to us, as a matter of fact, I believe the next day, on Friday. We got copies of the letter. The process is that that request then goes to the co-chairs to decide if they want to have it heard by the subcommittee. The letter went to the co-chairs. I believe it was assigned on the... might have been Monday or Tuesday, the 28th or 29th. It was my understanding that the application was due on the 28th, frankly, Mr. Chair. Then the process is that once we get the application, we have to start our process of analyzing the application to decide the recommendation of the Legislative Fiscal Office, and BAM goes through the same process of deciding their recommendation for budget and management. We have some standard questions that we have to get answered. For example, is there any match required? Is this an ongoing obligation? Will there be any employees that will be needed for this program, none of which were addressed in the letter to the legislature? So as we go through and get those questions answered, we turn it around as quickly as possible. And as of today, our understanding was that the application would already have been sent in, so didn't see a rush to try to get it Thursday, to get it on for a full hearing for the full committee on Friday, since the application would have already been passed. And knowing our light schedule this week, we scheduled it for today.
What was the date you sent in the application?
Exactly. No, I didn't. The date was settled in. That's one of the reasons I came.
Mr. Chair, if I might ask Chuck another question, if that's possible.
What was it? 28.
Okay.
Do you have another question?
I was just wondering, Chuck, you had mentioned that there was some inclusion in a policy option package that the legislature considered for your 0103 budget that had an item for some expenditures, federal expenditures, I assume,
mm-hmm.
For Yoni's disease. What happened to that package? Was that package approved by the legislature? Was there any direction given to return if you knew the funding was going to be there for certain?
You know, I'm sorry, I don't remember. I think it was approved, but I don't recall any subsequent direction.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is all new information to me, frankly. I wasn't familiar that there was some amount of money included in a policy option package that was considered for this biennium. And normally, the process is that the agency brings forward an application for monies that were not anticipated or enacted on by the legislature previously. So if, in fact, there was a policy option package that included some expenditure limitation for Yoni's disease and Yoni's disease testing, it's possible that the department did not even need to bring this grant application forward at this time if, in fact, the legislature had already acknowledged that there would be some money coming to the department for this use. That wouldn't allow for the 03-05 biennium, but, of course, we could have included that in a technical adjustment, and it would at that time be ongoing funding from the federal government for a program that had already been approved by the legislature. So there's a lot of interesting things coming up in this hearing today.
Well, Senator Morgan,
I think you should probably, I'm sure you will, check out whether that's the case or not. Paul, how long, when an agency gives a letter of intent or permission to apply for a grant and it goes through the governor's office and DAS and your office, what's in general terms is the period of time that takes for that part of the process to be completed?
Well, since we really don't have much else going on at this time, it takes a little while. I think that we actually turn this around fairly quickly. Yeah, maybe a week at the most. I mean, you can turn these around quickly. But there, you know, again, if there was any question, the department certainly could have sent a 10-day notification letter to the legislature on or shortly after the 16th, letting us know that they were going to apply for the grant, that they had to get some information together for the grant, and that the grant may be retroactive. But they could have still provided a 10-day notification letter. I know, in the process of sometimes ironing, it may seem like we do this every time, Senator, but we do revise the process a little bit. And, for example, at the start of session, we had a few mix-ups on some grants, so we've kind of arrange with VAM what the process is and the way to most quickly get these grants before subcommittees. And I think that we've tried to get these as quickly as possible turned around. But oftentimes with these federal grants, there are some short deadlines, and it makes it difficult on all parties to comply with the intent of the legislature.
Mr. Chair, may I have a follow-up? Chuck, if you heard on the 16th, and you knew the deadline was the 28th and that it was going to take you some time to get the grant together until the 24th, why did you choose not to send the 10-day notice letter?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, generally, I think we could have done that, but what we've had a practice of doing is trying to be able to specify the amount and what we're doing with the money so that the legislature has a good idea of what we're actually doing. And we just d- did the work plan so that we could speak to that before we sent the notification. I think obviously the next time we're just going to fire off a letter that says there's 233,000 available for Oregon. We want you to know that we'd like to apply for it. Once we find out the details, we'll be back. But we just thought that we should work it out and be able to speak to what we're really going to do with the money, and it took us a week to do that.
You know, this is very difficult for me right now, because I think Senator Deuce is raising a great point. But what it's expressing to me is my personal feelings. I would be very reluctant to approve a grant without knowing the details as well.
It's a rock and a hard place.
And so,
but had they given us all of that, the process would have begun, and by the time the 24th hit, we probably would have been able to act on it in time. And what bothers me as much as anything is they come in assuming that we need to approve this, but they applied without the approval.
Except you didn't have your work plan until the 24th. And that's what I'm saying, Senator. You know, I don't care who it is. I'm going to, because sometimes it's in the details where you find out that maybe this isn't exactly what we had in mind.
Exactly, but I think the process would have gone. The governor's office would have done their thing. BAM would have done their thing. And it would have been to us. We wouldn't have done anything until we had the specifics. I think sometimes a phone call goes a long way. I mean, clearly there are short timelines, and if an agency finds out that they've got, you know, 5 days to apply for something, and it's money that they can put to a good use, that I think they ought to apply. But they also ought to pick up the phone or fire off a letter or try to work with staff to get all of the information and to make sure that there are heads nodding over in this end before they actually make the application.
Chuck, it sounds like you've got some time. And my concern is that where I'm hearing staff saying there's some things they'd like to check out. Do we have a month, 2 months, or what did they say?
Well, he's not made the application.
Before we approve it.
Yeah, we sent in a kind of a prospective application. As far as when you approve it, I think we probably do that. But I don't know how much.
Mr. Chair. Yes. This is, 2020 hindsight, you know, it wins every time. And when you look back on these things and figure out what would have worked better, it's kind of a shame that our minds don't work as well while we're looking forward as they do when we're looking backwards, but that's the way it is. I think, though, that you got constitutional issues on this one, and that probably what you want to do is check out the whether there's expenditure limitation to go ahead with this, and if there isn't, you're looking for another vote.
Well, and that was where I was heading. That we are in public hearing, not in work session.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be the prudent thing to do to clarify some of this information.
Mr. Chair, according to our calculation, we, as an agency, we don't need additional expenditure limitation this biennium. It would be next biennium that we would actually need it.
So then it would be possible to put this in the budget.
And that's, I thought that's what we actually asked to do.
I think we need to give Mr. Siebert some time to
understand.
Any other questions, comments? Representative Johnson, did you have any questions?
I apologize, Mr. Chair, trying to be in two places simultaneously, and I apologize to you all. Is it the retroactive nature of this that is causing the difficulties among the committee?
Yeah, I guess. You
thank you, that. Mr. Chair.
If that doesn't cause any undue hardship, I don't want to lose the program, but I think we want to make sure of exactly where we're going. So with that, I'll close the public hearing. Any other messages?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you do not have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow or Wednesday. If you want to reconsider this at some point, well, I think it's a little bit late for tomorrow, but if you want to do it Wednesday, just let staff know and we'll get it on the schedule. We can certainly schedule something for Wednesday. If not, maybe we can work it in Thursday before you begin your work session.
And I don't sense there's even that much of a hurry.
Okay.
Right. I mean, if we got it next week, would that be adequate?
I think that's adequate, Mr. Chair.
I don't want to crowd this up.
Okay. That will go to the...
Sorry.